So thank you for hosting. I want to introduce everyone tonight to the man on the front cover of this packet. Now, to be candid, I had not met this man. I still haven't met him in person. I had never even heard of this man until I was introduced to him by one of the Kolo fellows this year.
He's the milkman, right?
He is known as the Chalban.
Right?
Right? He is the milkman, the cheesemaker.
Rabbi Stromers.
Yes.
He introduced, exactly.
He
used yes. the paper, and he did a whole thing.
Exactly.
Thing,
right? So we're going to get a piece from the Chalban. Cool. This man, you never heard of him.
Yeah.
So, good. I'm glad you listened.
I remember where we were.
So he was born in the 1930s, in 1935, to a Sephardic family. Their last name is Cohen. They have a farm, a dairy farm, where they make cheese in the border of Tel Aviv and Givatayim, which in the 1930s was more rural than it is today. He grew up on this farm. He still works in his family's cheese business, his family's dairy, and now he is known, although I didn't know him until this year, as a prolific teacher and a mekubal, a real legit Talmud Chacham, somebody gives shiurim. So I went online. His weekly shiurim are videotaped. You look at this picture, you think Collins Avenue. That's what I think when I see this picture. I think like my grandfather, Oliver Shulman, every other person at Mincha Maariv in the Carriage Club South. Seriously. The Kangol cap and the short sleeves, and then of course for Mincha Maariv he has like the navy blazer that goes with it. And this man has a beautiful teaching that I want to share with you and learn together in the context of community. The reason I wanted to do this topic tonight, Mirtz Hashem will do one more shiur in July. We'll have to figure out the date. But we'll do one more in July. But I want to do this tonight because I know that Rabbi Liebtag spent a lot of time over Shavuos talking about community. So I had come across a couple of ideas that I thought would complement. So our theme tonight is community. And we're going to share a teaching from the Chalban. To do that, I want to start with a couple of basic questions that don't require the source packets because they are self-evident. The Gemara tells us in the beginning of Maseches Ksubos, on Daf Zayin, that at a wedding, we recite seven brachas. We call them Sheva brachas, but the Gemara enumerates those brachos, and then the Gemara also tells us that over the course of the week of Sheva brachos, so when you have what we call Panim Chadashos, a new person, somebody who brings added simcha, so you recite Sheva brachos, we call them these seven brachos. When you have a Suda, you have benching, beautiful. I don't know, because I think because we're used to it, we don't like really focus in on what that means, but I don't know if we adequately appreciate the significance of that. You're making seven brachos at a meal. That is very important. That halachically, that's a bell ringer. That says something huge is happening here, and we need to pay attention to it. And what's interesting is that you recite Sheva brachos for a wedding. It's a big deal, not taking away from anything. But if you were to contrast a wedding with a bar or bas mitzvah, what would you find? Halachically, like Rav Moshe has a tshuva about bar and bas mitzvahs. It says,
no brachas.
Right? There's no brachas. The truth is, there's no nothing. Mm-hmm. You ask the average person who has this kind of gray hair or white hair with a Kangol cap and the short sleeve blue or white shirt what their bar mitzvah looked like, what does it usually sound like?
A little chichel and a schnapps.
And a half a bottle of schnapps. That was it. That's a bar mitzvah.
Rice or peanuts at us as we finished.
Okay, at least you had that. My grandfather, Oliver Shalom, didn't have that. He had a piece of pound cake and some schnapps. That was it. It's because halachically, that is not a significant event, and therefore it's not marked. Now, we have made it into something, which is great, and we're not taking anything away. But if you were to measure and think for yourself, well, what is the goal? What is our end goal as Jews, as Avdei Hashem? Obviously, our end goal is to develop to the fullest extent our connection to our Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's our goal. So from that standpoint, you could argue that the transition to a bar or bat mitzvah is the most significant transition you have in your life. Because you go from Eina Metzuva V'Yoseh to a Katan or a Ketana who's only in the realm of Chinuch to a Metzuva V'Yoseh, where your mitzvahs really matter, where your connection to Hashem really is developed. And yet that gets no press at all in the halacha. So that's the first observation that we're going to put on the back burner. The second one is a general question. Whenever we think about the concept of community, we think about a tension that exists very much in society, especially in economic arena. And that is the tension between individualism and collectivism, right? Between capitalism and socialism or communism or Marxism. So this is a tension that we should think about on a Jewish level, on a religious level, on a spiritual level. And the Torah actually gives us a specific prescription of how to handle this on a socioeconomic plane. And what is that? That's probably Parshas Bahar. We are told that there's something called Shemitah, so every 7 years, everyone, so to speak, gives back, make sure that there's enough for everybody else to eat. You can only take into your house that which is available in the field for the animals. So there's kind of a rebalancing, and ultimately, the real rebalance happens every 50 years with Yovel. Right, what happens in Yovel? All the Shiluach Avodim, the sending out of the slaves, they go back, and perhaps more importantly, the debts are annulled. That happens every year also in the Shemitah, but also the return of ancestral land. So you may have a real estate empire, let's say. That real estate empire is going to be redistributed if it's the Stei Achuza every 50 years. So what that may account for, and I'm not the Ribono Shalom's accountant, but what that may create is a periodic either readjustment or reallocation or equilibrium. So you don't require governmental intervention on a regular basis. It's built into society. So there are other economic mechanisms at work, but there is at least a built-in way of dealing with the challenge of the individual versus the collective, because from an economic standpoint, capitalism or the pursuit for the individual inevitably results in an inequality of the distribution of wealth. So that's how we view, at least one way to view, the tension between individualism and collectivism. But the question is there more to that conversation on a fundamental level? You know, that's a way to deal with it on a practical basis. But what about the identity of individualism and the identity of the collective? How do we, as Torah aspiring Jews, navigate that issue? You know, historically, on a practical level, it's been dealt with in different ways, but also historically, people have thought about this. And what does it say about us? So that's the second thing that we can think about. And the third thing that is the most basic and obvious question that we need to ask in this context is, why do we need community? Why do we need this concept of community in the first place? Is it because it provides utilitarian benefit? You know, there's some, you know, without, what did Hobbes say? Nasty, brutish, and short is the way that he categorized life and nature. So we need to get together to look out for each other so that we shouldn't be killing each other. And not only shouldn't we be killing each other, we can support each other and do something for mutual benefit. That's one way of looking at community. But maybe there's another way of appreciating what community means that's more profound than just, I'll scratch your back and you'll scratch mine. So I wonder if at the core of this issue of community, of thinking about the wedding and the nature of the collective versus the individual and the definition of community, we can reflect on one teaching. This teaching has different permutations and different sources, primarily in the Zohar HaKadosh, in the mystical tradition. There is an idea. The idea goes something like this. It's a song that we sing sometimes in Simchas Torah, but now it's kind of gone out of style, so we don't sing it so much. Yisrael, the Jewish people, the Oraisa, and the Torah, the Kud Shabrichu, and God, Chadhu. It is one. Remember that from growing up? That was like a... But it's not popular anymore so much. No, no. So what that is, on a deep level, I don't really know, because that's obviously a deep Kabbalistic teaching. But the idea that there is this unity that reflects the same oneness of the Jewish people and the Torah and Hashem Yisbarach, that is a very important principle that we should think about. Now, the second half of it is more easy to grasp in a certain sense. Because the Gemara tells us in Shabbos that the word Anochi is actually a hint. It's an acronym. Aleph Nun Chaf Yud stands for four words: Ana Nafshi Kasivas Yehivas. I myself, I wrote down and I gave it to you. That's how the Gemara understands when God says Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. Anochi means this that I'm giving you, these tablets, this tradition of Torah, that is the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why if you look in the Ramban's introduction to his whole Pirush on Torah, he says that if you were to break up the letters of the Chumash differently, you could create one long string of what looks like different words, then actually that comprises one name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We just don't know how to break it up. We break it up as Bereshis, space, Bara, space, Elohim. But if you wrote Bura, and then Shizba, and then and you broke it up according to a deep Kabbalistic tradition that we don't know, you would actually get one long name of God. What does it mean? It's the one long name of God. It means that when you have a name of something, that represents the essence, the identity of it. The name represents the identity. So the Torah is the divine wisdom that represents a physical manifestation of Hashem Yisbarach in this world. According to the tradition, it was originally, before the world was created, way back when, the Gemara says, hundreds of generations before Bria Sa'olam, whatever that means, it was black fire on white fire. It was a spiritual entity. So we understand that the knowledge of Hashem, of God, whatever that means, and God himself is the same. So he wrote down his knowledge. He handed it to us on a piece of paper. That's called the Sefer Torah. So the Oraisa of Akud Shabrichu, that I get. That's Chadhu. I get that. But what does it mean that Yisrael and Kud Shabrichu are Chad? That the Jewish people and Hashem Yisbarach are one. So it doesn't mean that every individual is an image, a mirror image of God. Each individual person is a spark of Hashem Yisbarach, is an emissary or an extension of Hashem. But what it means is that there is something called Knesset Yisrael, the entirety of the Jewish people as a whole. That's a tzibur. That tzibur, on some level, is a reflection in our world of the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. If you take the entirety of the Jewish people, that is a mirror image of Hashem. It makes sense because all the neshamas, all the sparks from Hashem, they are kind of joined together. According to the Baal Tanya, they're all the same energy, just little sparks. So if you put them all together, you actually have like the reflection of the sun in the light. That is the Ribbono Shel Olam kiviyachol being reflected in the sparks of the souls that are in the world. It's not surprising then that there is this interesting parallel between Yisrael and Oraisa, between the Jewish people as a whole and the Torah. Because the word Yisrael stands for Yesh Shishim Ribo Osios LaTorah. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah. What does that mean? Yesh Shishim Ribo Osios LaTorah. It means that every Jewish person has a letter. That's why Rabbi Sachs has a great book called A Letter in the Scroll. Great book. It's because now we see that the entirety of all the letters of all of Kalal Yisrael, that makes up Knesset Yisrael, and that's parallel to a Sefer Torah. A Sefer Torah is the reflection of the Ribbono Shel Olam in this world, And the Jewish people as a whole, Knesset Yisrael, is a reflection of the Ribbono Shel Olam in the world. So how is that, or why is that? Perhaps it's because what the Ribbono Shel Olam is to us is this idea of the Or Ein Sof. Endless light. Endless energy. That's why we have this mashal in the Baal Tanya that there's the sun and then there's the energy of the sun. So the Nitzotzos of Hashem Yisbarach, whatever that means in a deep level, that comes into the world. That's the radiance of Hashem. That's the energy. That's the light. That's the warmth. Or you can look at it differently. That's the love, the Ahava. It's the Olam Chesed Yibaneh. It's the sense of unending love that Hashem Yisbarach has. And that is what's constantly shown through into the world. It's love, it's giving. Rav Dessler has this very long development, beautiful development, that the koach that Hashem used to create the world was the koach of altruism, of giving. And everything comes back to that. When we tap into the spirit of giving, that's tapping into godliness. So all the time, there is this, you know, energy that's coming into the world of giving, of sharing, of love, of light. That's what Hashem is giving to the world. And that's reflected through the Torah. That's reflected through the Jewish people. But now I understand why it's not possible to create that on an individual level. What do I mean by that? Because one individual person, they don't have anyone with whom they can share light, with whom they can reflect HaKadosh Baruch Hu and give love or illumination. That person is solitary. So as a standalone, nobody reflects what the Ribbono Shel Olam is modeling for us in this world, kiviyachol. Only when you bring a community of people together do you have the same idea of projecting light to someone else. You can't project light to nothing. I mean, maybe a philosopher could ask that question, but it's not meaningful. If the Ribbono Shel Olam is the idea of endless light and love for others, complete altruism, because he doesn't need anything from us, so then we can only create that when there are others, when there are community. So we can understand now that community means a lot more. It's much deeper than just a mutual aid society, which it is. At its most basic level, if you look at this interesting observation, take a look at the Rambam on the first page. This is the Rambam in Sefer Shoftim, the last of the 14 books of the Rambam. And at the top, the Rambam gives you a pasuk, he gives you the title. It's the 14th book, and it has five sets of halachos. The book is called Sefer Shoftim. What are the five halachos? Who wants to volunteer? What are the five halachos in this book? I'm going to give you a heads up. We're going to play a little game.
Sanhedrin, which, right here.
That's right. So that's number one. Sanhedrin is number one. There you go. Edus is number two. So courts, testimony. What's next?
Mamrim,
which is the tradition of the oral law and the authority of Torah. What's next? Hilchos Avel, laws of mourning. And then?
Malachim,
the laws of kings. So here's the game. Which of these halachos does not belong in Hilchos Sefer Shoftim? The book of judges, the book of leadership, the book of...
What's Avel?
Yeah, right?
Can I venture to say kings?
Well, I would think that kings is going to fit with Shoftim.
Yeah. Here's the reason.
Let me hear.
Because kings are elected. And therefore, they rule with the same laws that we would learn in Shoftim.
So it does belong... All right. Right, that is the, I would say, we could go back to Shoftim in terms of the kings, but it would seem that Hilchos Avel does not belong here. It's very odd. Why Hilchos Avel? The Rambam put it in Sefer Shoftim. You could think of better places to put Hilchos Avel. But some have observed that the Rambam put it here for a reason. Because he wants us to understand that Hilchos Avelos is a function of a community. A person, God forbid, could pass away with no close relatives. And what happens? The community comes to their house and sits Shiva. They don't have any mourners. But it's a din in the tzibur. You can't have a person who leaves this world that is not embraced by the community, even if they don't have any mourners. And kal v'chomer, you ever go to a levaya, rachmana litzlan, the mourners, they go, they come back from the funeral, and what do? They have something called a sudas havra. What is a sudas havra? What's the din of a sudas havra? The food comes from a neighbor or a friend or the shul. You don't eat your own food. Why? Because immediately when you feel, God forbid, we shouldn't know from it, but when a person feels a sense of loss, the way that they're comforted is from their community, from their friends, and from their neighbors. Right? We bring sidurim, we bring food, then we bring more food, then we bring a little bit more food. Hilchos Avel is a din in the tzibur. And that actually is reflected, not for tonight, but that actually is reflected in various halachos that are pertinent to Hilchos Avel, even which kind of people we mourn for, and a lot of different things. It's not for tonight. But this is one observation, that you need a community for basic support. But what we're saying now is that much beyond the institutional support that a community provides is that a community creates a spiritual entity, that reflects the Ribbono Shel Olam in the world. Now, with that understanding, I can understand why the brachas are all over the place when it comes to a wedding and not when it comes to a bar mitzvah. Because what happens at a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah? So you become a bar chiyuva. That's good. That's very important. We should note it. We should encourage our children, grandchildren. It's a big deal.
But it happens no matter what.
A, it happens no matter what. And B, it happens on an island. It's a solitary experience. It doesn't need to involve anybody else. You become bar mitzvah by yourself, or, you know, with or without a community. Turn to the next page. Rav Soloveitchik has an essay that he published in Tradition called Community. And by the by, he doesn't even develop it at length in the context. He talks about how when Adam Arishon met Chava, Lo tov heosa Adam levado esa lo ezer kenegdo, who comes first, the community, the pair, or man or woman alone? Who takes precedence? Adam and Eve in the utter loneliness which both of them experienced at the hour of creation? Or Adam and Eve as a couple after they had been brought together to become united in marriage? So he kind of just lays it out there without even developing it so much. And throughout the essay, he discusses community. I don't know if this is a well-known essay or not, but it's a very beautiful essay about the nature of community, how it has to do with tefillah, many other points. But I'm just picking up on one small line here. I never thought of it until Rav Soloveitchik framed it this way. A couple is the first community. Doctor, you're nodding your head as if like that's obvious to you. It's not a chiddush. But to me, right, it's the smallest unit of a community. And that's what Rav Soloveitchik is actually developing here. Why do you make such a big deal about Sheva Brachos? Because you have just created the first community. And that community is the smallest permutation of Knesset Yisrael, which is the expression of the Shekhinah. Maybe that's why when the Gemara talks about Ish v'Isha, when they create a harmonious union, we say Shekhinah Shruya Beinehem, the Yud and the Hey. It's good for a Sheva Brachas Torah. But I wonder if it's more than just, you know, what does it mean that they bring the Shekhinah into their lives? Maybe it's because when you create the community, you actually are now reflecting that idea of light that the Ribbono Shel Olam shines into the world. Now you're shining it to the other person and they're shining it back to you with that sense of selflessness and giving and altruism and love to the greatest extent that we can. So we can understand the Rav's Chiddush that marriage is a community. It's a small nuclear community, but it is a community. And that's why he talks about how it requires sacrifice and selflessness and so many other elements that go into it.
Reverend Rance,
yeah.
Just one thing that really ties in nicely. The question is, why under the chuppah does the chassan say, Harayat Mekadeshes Levet Tabasu Kedat Moshe of Yisrael. Why those words? Why
okay.
Torah HaKadosha.
Yes.
And the, I think it's a Gong that says that the reason is that it's you relate it to the euphoria of Kabbalah Satorah, the 600,000 Jews.
Very nice.
So it's, it, again,
it's that same experience.
The experience, and you're hoping that the lifetime will be the same as we look at the Kabbalah Satorah. We continue to celebrate it every year and so on. That's so it's
very
exactly
nice.
What that the choice of that theme.
That theme, beautiful.
It's also the only way the community perpetuates by a husband and wife getting married.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The Masorah has to continue, and the community has to continue, and it continues out of that new place.
Right. So now I can understand why our Avodas Hashem, our basic Avodas Hashem, can't be on an island. It can't be a life of bar and bat mitzvah, because that's solitary. It's got to be developing our personal skills. As the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, im ein ani li mi li, my unique contribution to the world, the Ribono Shel Olam, for me, is something which is irreplaceable. It's indispensable. Nobody else can do what I do. But at the same time, because I can't, on an individual level, reflect ultimately the Ribono Shel Olam's light in the world of giving, of shining, because there's got to be somebody else. And that's perhaps why the Rambam has a very sharp, very, very intense statement. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Tshuva that there are certain people, I mean, it's mizazea to read these words, ve'elu these people do not have a share in the world to come. And now the Rambam gets graphic. They are cut off and damned and judged for the greatness of their wickedness and their sins forever and eternity. Whew. That's like smoking this paper. And the Rambam says, who are those people? The worst. Heretics and apikorsim and kofrim b'torah and the people who deny the basic tenets of faith and the people who cause the community to sin and v'haporshin midarchei tzibur, people who separate themselves from the community. What does that look like? The Rambam tells you in Halacha Yud Aleph, look out, hold on to your seats. Haporish midarkei tzibur, says the Rambam, afal pi shelo over averus. The guy didn't do any averus. And lo nivdal me'adas Yisrael ve'ein os mitzvos bechlolon. A person does mitzvos, but he doesn't do it with everybody else. Doesn't do averus, but he's not part of the people. V'lo nichnas bitzarason. When the community is suffering, he doesn't come to participate and join in their grief. He doesn't sit and fast when the people are fasting. He goes as one of the people in the earth. He joins some other faith community. Although he's secretly Jewish, he's acting Jewish, but he doesn't associate with the Jewish people. He's not a part of the Jewish community. He pretends like he's not part of the Jewish community. If you want to have a portion of the endless light of the Ribono Shel Olam, you have to tap into that light. That light is expressed through Knesset Yisrael. You might be very on the books, bar mitzvah righteous, but if you don't participate in what the community is going through, it's not enough. Because that's where the Ribono Shel Olam is. And I think that we can reflect now, it's not just on a personal level. Now, what we can think about is what this means in terms of the trajectory of our Avodas Hashem. Take a look on the next page. This this idea is expanded on in a book by Rav Amital called Values in a Changing World. He has a section on community. This Meshech Chachma is amazing. Because the Meshech Chachma here, it's the end of Parshas Noach on page 4. He's talking about Ish Ho'adama. Who is the Ish Ho'adama? Noach. Wait a minute. Noach is Ish HaAdama, man of the earth. I thought Noach Ish Tzadik. No?
Yeah.
At the beginning of his career, Noach was an Ish Tzadik. That's That's pretty good. But now, at the end of his career, after all the animals and the teva and the everything, he's called Ish Ho'adama, farmhand. What happened to him?
He didn't beg enough people to join him.
You saw this Meshech Chachma already? Oh, it's always stealing our thunder. Yes! The Meshech Chachma, and he says it in such a sharp way, because you know what he contrasts it with. Take a look. Karl was mechavin to this Meshech Chachma. He says, quotes, he first quotes a Medrash, Reb Brechi on line number 2, Chaviv Moshe Minoach. Moshe is compared to Noach, and is more beloved. Why? Noach Misha Nikra Ish Tzadik, Nikra Ish Ho'adama. He starts out as Ish Tzadik. At the end of the line, he's only Ish Ho'adama. But Moshe, Mishanikra Ish Mitzri, he starts out his career called Egyptian man. You can imagine the daughters of Yisro come home. He's a prominent guy. They say, we met a boy at the well. Oh, Tzipora says, I met such a nice boy. He says, yeah, what is he? They say, an Ish Mitzri. Ish Mitzri, what's he doing in Midian? He must be a vagabond. He must be on the lam. He must be like a runaway criminal. Yisro is probably not thrilled. His son-in-law is going to be called Ish Mitzri. Where does he conclude? Nikra Ish Elokim. He says, "Heinyan diyeshnei drachim ba'avodas Hashem yisbarach." There are two paths in the way of Hashem. Derech Echad, line number 5: Misha miyachid atzmo la'avodas yisbarach umisbodeid. A person who devotes himself to the service of God, and he has his bodedus. He secludes himself. Okay, that's called his bodedus. What do you call that? Solitary, solitude. That's his bodedus. V'yesh mi she'osik b'tzorchei tzibur u'mevatel atzmo b'shvil haklal u'mafkir nafsho avudas avurasam. And then there's another kind of person who devotes their spiritual energies to the community, and he devotes himself or herself so much that it's like hefker. He says, "Im kein tzorach lomar lafi hamusag shezeshem izbode yalo malo mala." You would think, if someone were to ask you, who's going to go higher? The person who's misvoted, right? He doesn't worry about the community, only worries about himself. He spends all the time devoted to his bodedus. And the person who's devoting, giving their time to the tzibur, they're going to sacrifice, they're going to pay a spiritual price. Says the Meshech Chachma, as they say in Yiddish, punkt fakert. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu, you don't want to say, God forbid, he was a nothing from nothing, but they say he was an Ish Mitzri, an Egyptian man. Not much of anything. But he devotes his entire spiritual life to everybody else, to the people. And the end of his journey, he becomes Ish Elokim. Noach, Ish Tzadik, he had so much going for him, but he spent over a century building an ark and he couldn't spend 5 minutes, according to the tradition, to find other people and inspire them, and care about them, and embrace them. So he ends up, Taka Isha Adama, he ends up, God forbid, drunk in his tent. It's an unbelievable idea. Now these two tracks are not totally mutually exclusive, but where's your emphasis? So, and I mentioned before, once, a couple months ago, the biography of Henny Machlis, Olea HaShalom, at Tzedekis. So she has an unbelievable story in there. She describes how she would go for, sometimes for hisbodedus, which in Yiddish is go, felt is a field. She would go to felt. She would do hisbodedus. That was part of her avodas Hashem. But what defined her avodas Hashem? Not her hisbodedus, her devotion to the klal. So she has a maisa in that book, which is mamash amazing. Apparently, it was sometime in Yerushalayim, they were having one of these Shmiras HaLashon campaigns, where you commit not to speak Lashon Hara for a certain hour, which is amazing, because Shmiras HaLashon is a very important thing. So apparently, Henny Machlis, Aleha Shalom, she volunteered not to speak Lashon Hara from 2 to 3 in the morning. Good move, right? But you know what the most amazing part of the story was? That night, later, after she had committed, she called the organizer back. And she said, "I'm sorry, I can't commit to Shmiras HaLashon from 2 to 3 in the morning." Because what happens if maybe a woman calls me who's in a broken marriage, who's suffering and who's in pain and who wants to talk? I have to be able to talk to her. So you have to do me a favor. Take me off the Shmiras Halashan list from 2 to 3 in the morning. Right? Pirush Rashi, for anybody who didn't get that, I was like, when I read that thing, I'm like, wait a second. Say that again. That means you are expecting. It wouldn't be the first time that someone called you at 2:30 in the morning because they needed someone to talk to. And they might say Lashon Hara and you're going to listen to them because you're going to help them. Is there a greater expression of what the Meshech Chachma is talking about? So maybe, Hani Machlis Olah Shalom, her Gan Eden, you know, Mirtz Hashem, after 120 years, I'm going to probably need binoculars to see Hani Machlis' Gan Eden. So somebody might say, look, you see how much you have to sacrifice? You can't even do Shmiras HaLashon if you devote yourself to the Klal. The Meshech Chachma says, that's what the Medrash is saying. She devoted herself so selflessly, like beyond what anybody could imagine. Superhuman. But that's what it takes to become an Ish Elokim. Not to spend all day in his Hizbodedus. It's to nourish yourself in Eina Nili Mili with the Hizbodedus that you need to develop your Kochos. And then devoted to the community. And that's why there's an amazing teaching on the next page, on page 5. This beautiful comment of the Maor V'Shemesh. The Maor V'Shemesh was one of the great early Hasidic masters. He died in 1823. He lived in Krakow. And the Maor V'Shemesh says, you know, before the Baal Shem Tov came along, before the Hizgalus, before the revelation of the Hasidus, fourth line, Be'ez Hazos Mirash Chodesh Elo Ve'Eloch Kol Ish Asher Noga Yeras Hashem Belevavo. When it came time for Rosh Chodesh Elul, anybody who had a fear of God, V'haya Yorei Mechorid Me'emas Hayamim Anoroyim Hamamash Meshim Uboyim Hoyu Nizgarim Cheder Becher L'Hizbodid B'li Chever So'adam B'batei Knesios U'babatam B'beisam. You know what people used to do before the Baal Shem? You want to prepare for Rosh Hashanah? That's it. Close yourself away. Don't talk to people. Lock the door. Find yourself a field. That's one derech in Avodas Hashem. And some of them were fasting. Some of them were self-flagellation. But he says, however, he says, that's not, we learn from the tradition of the Baal Shem HaKodesh, that's not our tradition. You know the best way to prepare for Rosh Hashanah, he says, get together with your friends. Get together with the community. It says, be mechazik other people, and you will be mechazik from them. Devote your energies to raising the spiritual fabric of your community, sharing your light with other people. That's ultimately going to be the biggest investment for you to prepare for your own Avodas Hashem. And the truth is, it's almost self-serving in a sense, because me, it's Tak Lefonecha Kol Chai. Can anybody go to the Ribono Shel Olam in Rosh Hashanah and say confidently, I'm ready, I'm here, no matter how much Hizbodedus you do? But you know what? Knesset Yisrael comes before the Ribono Shel Olam. Knesset Yisrael, that entity, that's the reflection of godliness. That's Kulo Zakai. Well, he beat Avin V'Yakov. That can never go wrong. The community as a whole is always righteous in the eyes of God. So the more that we latch on to, become a part of the community, we kind of ride those coattails into the schus. And this brings us to the Chalban. Turn the page. In a sefer called Talalei Chaim, the Chalban, he writes this absolutely beautiful observation. And I'm reading this piece, and I'm looking at this picture, and I'm thinking, this is so good. Awesome. Says Rav Chaim Cohen, Lachain, kol mi shelevovo mole ba'ava v'ichpatius la'am Yisrael. Anybody whose heart is full of love and care and concern for the Jewish people. Tzarech livko es haklipa shemotzu besocha, lahafsik lachshov rak al gorolo haproti v'atzlachoso ho'ishis. To stop thinking and focusing on personal advancement and success. Velotzeis chutza, to move out. Lahashpira ula oris Yisrael, to affect and inspire the Jewish people. Shekzorach kol mi sheyiras alukim belavavo, anybody who has the fear of God, v'chol mi sheavas Yisrael benafsho leheicholetz mi mazgerosav, to break out of the mazger, the trap that we're caught in. Hapratius of the individual, of the self, hamamalos es komauso, that fill our identities, ad shekol rayonos of sovim, rak al devar gorolo aprati. At the end of the day, so often all we're thinking about is ourselves, our personal advancements, our personal interests. Vitzorach lotzis velosim es kvodo ve'inyon of betzad, we got to put our personal interests aside. Ulegayes atzmo la'am Yisrael, and to harness our energies for Am Yisrael. Lahoyer b'ayim or shel ava, mesikus shel Torah, kedusha, chen, chesed v'rachmim. And then he goes on, and he says, whatever your ability is, whatever your thing is, donate it to the community. If you have the ability to teach, then teach. If you can inspire, you can be machaz, you can make a phone call. The idea, says the Chalban, is that we need to constantly reorient ourselves in our Avodas Hashem. Not to be focusing on what is it that I need to grow on in for myself. It's how can I grow in the context of a community. Because ultimately we're seeing that that's really what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. He wants to see all of Klal Yisrael succeed because that's his reflection. When the Ribbono Shel Olam looks in the mirror, kivyachol, he sees all of us. He doesn't just see one of us. So the more that we grow as a community, the more that we are all lesaki and olam amal chashake, ultimately that's bringing the godliness into the world. So now we understand not just why there's so much simcha at a wedding, because you create this nuclear community. We can understand why a community is so powerful. It's so powerful because it provides not just the infrastructure for the utilitarian support, but it provides the avenue for bringing the light of Hashem Yisbarach into the world, and that gives each of us the opportunity to be a part of that. Each one of us in our Avodas Hashem has the incredible opportunity to find a community and to participate in it. And when we do that, we can be on that journey, hopefully, to become mamish like Moshe Rabbeinu, to devote our lives to the klal and become the Ish Elokim that is within each one of us, that spark to become. Thank you all for coming, as always. Thank you.